without one, it doesn't matter to me.
Good evening. I would like to call to order the Tuesday, September 19th, 2017, regular board meeting. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Tornero?
Here.
Mr. Truax?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, items 2.01, 02, and 03 are up. These are the approval of the minutes from the August 4th, 6th, and 15th meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truax. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Item 3.01, approval of the September 19th Board of Education meeting agenda. Mr. Superintendent, do we have any changes to this evening's agenda?
We do. We added a contract for Navios, and we also have a couple of thank you very much. We added a contract for Navios, which we'll discuss, and then a couple of personnel appointments that were added as well.
Okay. Any other changes as far as anything being pulled out?
We're going to be pulling out 11.02 and 11.03 and moving those down the agenda, moving 11.04 up.
All right, thank you. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Truax. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 4.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. Mrs. Tornero, the floor is yours.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Truax.
Thank you all for coming out tonight. It's nice to see everyone. That's about it for me tonight. Thanks.
All right. Mrs. Dunlap. So three for three?
No, sorry. thank you all for coming tonight. I always appreciate having members, community members, staff members in the room. Great start to the new year. I think I've been saying this over and over. I keep hearing it from staff members, from family members, community members, from kids. It's been a great start to the year. I think they all recognize a systematic cultural change. And although there are more challenges that we know that we need to tackle, we feel that we are in the right frame of mind and have the right start this year to continue to tackle those. Which leads me to the state report card. And I just wanted to say a few words about that. I know myself, like many other parents and board members, staff members, are disappointed with many, not all, of their scores in the state report card that was recently released. And all across Central Ohio, I was a reporter for 15 years and reported on education and covered the state report card and actually watched it move from just, you know, a handful of indicators, graduation rate, attendance rate, to something that was so complicated that when the new state report card came out and there was a webinar, the site crashed. Those of us who wanted to educate ourselves on it couldn't. It was so complicated. I firmly believe that the classroom assessments and teachers have a better handle on what their students are learning, definitely. And, you know, all these standardized tests we've talked quite a bit about, and we feel that it is overwhelming for our children, for staff members, for districts, and even for the state. We've gone from the millions to the billions statewide in what we pay for standardized testing every year. I've long felt that standardized testing is just one picture of one day in a student's life. That student, you know, maybe their dog died that morning, and it's not a true reflection of, you know, what they have, the knowledge that you've gained to that point. And I also feel that I brought something with me that it doesn't promote creativity, and I'm just going to say example because I think we have a lot of creativity and a lot of problem solving here in Reynoldsburg, and I saw out on social media that Hannah Ashton had a cookbook, for example. And so I said, oh, I want to support them. I'm going to go buy myself a cookbook. And so I went and bought this, and it's the Hannah Ashton Middle School Pan-Asian Fusion Cookbook. And once I started going through this, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce so many of these. I did see guacamole. I can pronounce guacamole. That was in there. But this actually is a club over at Hannah Ashton Middle School. And just let me read a little excerpt here. It said, for the past 3 years, over 150 students have participated in the Pan-Asian Fusion Cooking Club. Some of our initial grant money came from the Culinary Trust in a 21st Century Grant. This cookbook contains many of the recipes that my students create in our weekly class. Little is measured. Students are encouraged to taste and to develop their palates to make adjustments. The goal is to hone their palates. When we get together, and then they take their dinner home to share it with their families. So I really didn't realize what I was supporting. I thought I was going to buy a cookbook that were a bunch of recipes from the staff members at Hannah Ashton. And this is something so much more. And that was just, you know, something I'm using for an example of the creativity that we have here in Reynoldsburg that a standardized test cannot measure. You know, I mean, all the things that go into this, the problem solving, the teamwork, communication, leadership, reliability, enthusiasm, motivation, culture, history, all of that, so much of that is not tested in a standardized test. But they learn so much from this and take so much with them that, as I said, I'd like to see us, and I think we are, educating the whole child. So I feel the tide is turning, and that's up to us, that's up to you, it's to people who are writing and making noise. That the amount of testing and all the standardized testing can be reduced so that it, you know, we can hold districts accountable without stifling the creativity of our students. So off my soapbox, I just want to finally say that mark your calendars, November 9th, 10th, and 11th is the fall play. It's another thought-provoking drama. Mrs. Dunn has done an amazing job at tackling some very, very deep subjects. And this time, it's a drama about the fight for freedom around the entire world. That's it.
Sorry. All right. Mr. Whitman.
Like the others have said, thank you all for coming out here. And I don't have a lot tonight like the others, but I do have these box tops for education. When my kids were in elementary school, I'd always, you know, take them in, and then once they hit junior high, I brought them in and was told, "Whoa, well, we don't take those here." And since then, I've just been kind of gathering them and handing them off to, you know, the first teacher or administrator I see. I've learned that it depends on how strong a PTO an individual school has or who wants to step up to do it. But one suggestion on social media was, you know, I mean, the teacher I happen across first might not be the teacher from the school that's that could use these the most at the time. So I'm going to hand these over to Mr. Superintendent, who you know, has a more district-wide view than you know, than any of us do, I think, you know, just with our own kids. But it was suggested, like, wow, well, you know, what about people whose kids have aged out of the school, or people who just, you know, don't even have kids but might, you know, want to save these? And it would be cool if there were, you know, if there was, like, I don't know, a mailbox or something in central office or some way where, you know, we could just continue, not just, you know, leave money on the table here. I'm not sure how much these actually have an effect, but, you know, but it's it's better than a punch in the nose, you know, so we might as well get some benefit out of it. So that's all. Yeah.
I have no idea how to follow that up. I hope everyone's gotten off to a great start to the school year. It seems crazy that for mid to late September that we've already been in school for well over a month. As far as the report card goes, I do want to echo Board Member Dunlap's comments on it. As a teacher myself, I've only taught a tested subject. So every time a kid walks into my classroom, I know that at the end of the year, you know, we take stock of my performance based on how these kids do on a test. And I know every teacher takes it to heart. They never start up thinking to themselves, well, I'm not going to get this class to pass. They do everything possible they can. And then you see the report cards that have been altered, changed, manipulated, and categorized in completely different ways come out to try and tell us that we're all bad. Apparently, almost all of Central Ohio is bad. So when everybody is bad as a teacher, when the class comes out and they say, well, we all failed the test, then we start thinking to ourselves, okay, well, what was the test really about? Was that really in the best interest of the students? I don't have a story specific to Reynoldsburg, kind of like what you had talked about with the cookbook, but I'll tell you this. Teaching for now almost 15 years, I've never had a student come back and tell me what an impact a test had on them. But I've had plenty of students come back and tell me how my class changed them, or how the math class changed them, or how this other teacher changed them and gave them direction and things. So while it's not necessarily everything we want, and we will work harder to make sure that we do give the best education to our students, there's so much more that that does not even encompass, and we kind of have to keep that in mind as well. Those are the only comments other than that, except for one tiny little thing. I know you're ready to talk. Last Friday, I was at the football game, and real quick, it was really cool to see the student section picking up the trash after the game. I never really noticed it before. I'm at pretty much every home game and things like that, but I saw them, and it wasn't just like picking up like a Sprite bottle. It was legitimately, they had the big oversized trash bins, and they were going around picking up some of the trash afterwards from the student section. And I was just really impressed. I didn't see an adult tell them to do it. I didn't see anyone. I don't know of any program that says that they had to, but it was just really nice to see them after kind of celebrating. I think it was childhood cancer at that point on last Friday's game. It was nice to see it. It's not the first time, and I doubt it'll be the last time. So with that, I will now turn it over to Superintendent Brown. You have the floor.
Mr. President, members of the board, thank you very much. Yes, it is very hard to believe we've been in school for over a month, and hard to believe I've only been here about 8 weeks officially. Mm-hmm. It's been a really good start to the school year. I've enjoyed every minute of it, even the bumps that we've had to endure and get over. We've done so as a team and done so fairly successfully, in my opinion. I, too, will have some comments on a report card really quickly. There'll be an article coming out Thursday, I believe, where I'm quoted referencing some of the issues circled around the report card. I'll express that we'll need to use the information to continue to help us round out our practices. We'll use it to find areas of concern or improvement that we can make, and we'll use it for the information that it does provide. There are areas of growth that we can confront and take on, but articulating that it's important for us to look at any systemic issues that we need to address from an academic standpoint, we'll use it for that purpose. But it is not the be-all, end-all in terms of what we do as a school district, and I think we've already talked about some of the instances here, and I think what you see on a daily basis in our school will also articulate that. What it also does for us is identify some areas of success, some things that we do really well, and we want to continue to have those things grow. I often say there's no such thing as a perfect school or school district, but we want to be one. And so that's the direction in which we'll aim as far as that's concerned. K-3 literacy will continue to be an emphasis, with an understanding that all of our students come to us at different levels of readiness for school, and it's important that we're able to adjust to those. That's something else that the report card does not take into account, so it doesn't really know who our kids are. Our teachers differentiate and seek to teach students from where they are, and it's important to remember our population. Research will tell you there's almost a one-to-one correlation between poverty and achievement, and I think given that, we do a very good job of transcending that notion, and we'll continue to work hard to overcome that even more so. One example of some of the things we do or will be doing, we're going to be continuing to identify authentic learning opportunities for our kids within districts so they can get a sense of what the work is that we do and also get some experience for themselves. So one in particular, we'll have two girls from one of the high schools who will be from our high school, one of the programs who will be actually working with our communications department and being reporters, if you will, taking pictures, writing stories, reflecting on some of the things that are going on in our district. They'll be working in that vein. We'll look to seek other opportunities for kids to do things with other parts of our departments. I wanted to speak really quickly about substitute teacher services. It's been a struggle. We're not necessarily satisfied with the current state of affairs, and we're working to dramatically impact that and improve it. I've had a number of meetings over the past couple of weeks, and we'll have a few more going forward that may also present some options for us.
One thing to keep in mind, however, I was in a room today with 40 other superintendents, and every single one of them said they were having issues with substitutes. So it's not just us, but I do think we can improve in that venue. I want to highlight one other thing that's going to be in this week's news on a monthly basis. We'll be doing Raider Talk, which is a monthly column I will write just to talk about some things that are going on in the district. It will not necessarily be highlighting everything that's great. It may be some things that we're confronting that becomes problems for us we need to overcome. So I'll be very real as far as what we express in that particular column each month. And then finally, I also want to highlight one of our students who was a commended student through the National Merit Scholar Program, Nia DeGraffenried at eSTEM, due to her performance on the PSAT, was identified as a, the quote is, commended student through National Merit Scholarship. And she'll be recognized, she has been recognized at the school, and we'll continue to recognize her a little bit going forward as well. That's all I have for tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Right. Item 6.01, visitors that requested to address the board may do so at this time. There were no ahead of schedule ones, but we do have a speaker slip. Come on down, Parker.
Excuse my voice. I just came back from practice. I'm a little Flemish right now, but President Begany, Superintendent Brown, rest of the board, hello. For anyone who may not know me, my name is Parker Gutman. I'm a sophomore at the Bell Academy, and I am here tonight representing the Student Council. As many of you may know now, our annual homecoming parade will be taking place October 4th. We're asking for anyone who will be marching or riding via float or car to be there at the Livingston campus at 6 sharp to start lining up. The parade will begin around 6:30, and we'll start to move down to Rose Hill, down to Bartlett, to Ives, I think that's how you pronounce it, right? Yep, okay. To Renton, and then back to Rose Hill, back to the high school. So if anyone needs me to repeat that, I know that's a whole bunch of words, let me know. I encourage all of you to spread the word to everyone, inviting everyone and asking everyone to come out to that night and cheer on all of our schools. There will be many different groups, such as sports, clubs, and more, along with other groups, other community groups. So if anyone has any questions about the parade, please let me know. Now, on a side note, I'm also speaking for our design, for the art design at the Bell Academy, a group run by Ms. McGowan. And we're happily announcing that the t-shirt press is now officially in business, and nice. We'll now be taking orders. So if anyone has any questions, requests, please don't hesitate to email raidermerchandise@gmail.com. If anyone wants me to repeat that, let me know.
Can you repeat that, please?
raidermerchandise@gmail.com. It's a great opportunity for any clubs that you have, any groups, sports that you might want to get a whole bunch of t-shirts for. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak on both items. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you, and have a great night.
Thank you, Parker.
Can I really quickly say, I put out a couple of tweets about a week ago, and they asked me to take them down because they wanted it to be a surprise. I got overly excited by it.
All right, any questions? Community?
Could you just tell the dates one more time for everybody?
The dates?
For homecoming?
October 4th will be the parade. October 6th will be the homecoming game. Football game, and October 7th will be hopefully.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, that was the last of our guest speakers. Moving on to item 7.01, 02, and 03 from Finance. Madam Treasurer, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. On tonight for your approval are the August 31st financial reports. There are also a handful of appropriation modifications. We have three additional federal grants ranging from $10,000 up to $200,000, which was an additional 21st century grant for HAMS. They had one that lasted 5 years, and they just were awarded a new grant. Also on tonight is something different. It's after the fact transactions. We have really good controls over our purchasing procedures. We always have very clean audits around that. But this is taking our good controls and making them better. This is another layer of approval. Our policy in Ohio law requires that you have a purchase order in place prior to making approval. And there's lots of hoops that you need to jump through to make sure that we're purchasing appropriate things and within our budget. Sometimes that doesn't always work out. People may be just be as simple as forgetting a purchase order, or something happens that it doesn't make it ahead of time. I have the authority to approve anything $3,000 and under, but not anything over $3,000, but the board does. So we're actually implementing another layer of internal controls over our purchases, so you'll occasionally see these on the board agenda. And that's all that I have for tonight.
I have one question. Mrs. Miller, so the 21st Century grant that was at HAMS, it was a five-year grant before. What about this one? How long does this one last?
Oh, it's either, Jimmy's there, 5 years.
It's another five. Wonderful. And if people didn't get a chance to look at that attachment, you know, that was some amazing grant money that has come in here. And I was very impressed. I mean, free money, and, you know, it's not always easy to get those grants. They have to be well written. And so
they
I appreciate that, that the time and attention was spent to, I mean, as you said, from, you know, $10,000 to $34,000. And then the 21st Century grant, which is $200,000.
Yes.
So amazing.
And HAMS uses that for a variety of after-school activities for students, which may or may not have been part of the cookbook. I'm not sure. But she has a lot of programs after school for our students.
And they said that was partially funded by the 21st Century grant.
Yep.
And then there was another one as well. Yeah.
Madam Treasurer, thank you for explaining the after the fact transaction, as I was kind of curious about that,
okay.
about those. So yes, so they are new. So that means that I didn't just forget that I'd ever seen them. So
no,
what
they're brand new.
What did we do before when these kind of things, you know, happened?
They probably happen a little more frequently now. Sometimes we went back to the vendor to get new invoices, so the invoice date was after the purchase order, but that wasn't probably the best way of doing it. So I think this is the better way of doing it.
Okay, so instead of just sort of an ad hoc, let's just figure something out each time
yes.
it happens, this is the designated
this
plan B.
This is the designated plan that we're going to go with now.
Okay, all right, thank you. And one of the, in the appropriation modifications, I was looking through them, and I was intrigued by the African American Culture Club. If anybody is here who can tell a little bit about that, I'm eager to hear about it. But if not, then
Ms. Ross actually is here to do that.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Ms. Ross.
Good evening, Board. So what is it that you'd like to know?
Just you know, how, is it a new club, and what will they be doing, and you know.
Okay, so last year it was my first year in the district, and we were teaching a unit. I was teaching a unit on that had a lot to do with African American literature for this particular unit, and there were a group of students that got particularly interested. So much so that they were showing up during my lunch in my classroom, and we were doing a little bit of African American literature during my lunch period. Per their request, they wanted a class, and so I brought that request to my principal. Clearly the year had started, it was too late to add a class at that point, and that was unfortunate for the seniors then, but we were able to add that class this year. So I'm teaching two sections of African American literature, and so the club is that class. And so there are some things that, some field trips and some educational travel that I'm trying to plan for the students in that class. So the club is the class.
Thank you for clarifying that. So okay, so do people have to be in the class in order to come to the club, or how does that work?
The club is the class, and I think the club exists, and I met with Tammy, and I think that has to do more so with the financial end, with the fundraising
okay.
piece. I think that, and you can please jump in, I think that the club has to exist in name and on paper so that I can do fundraising. So there's not like, so we have Friday clubs at mm-hmm. the high school on the Livingston campus, and I do a separate club.
Okay.
For that, but so right now for this year, the club is just the class, but I'm hoping to expand that soon.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I wish that you and the club success.
Thank you so much.
So I had asked a question beforehand, and maybe I want to just echo that here. So I didn't know it was during the day, but when I looked on this sheet, I saw $7,000 or $7,100. And so I understand that isn't money that exists yet. This is something you've put down on paper in
Correct.
Order to kind of put a benchmark where you want to raise,
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Please
cool.
let us know and advertise any of those fundraisers.
Okay,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ross.
If there's
That's
no
cool.
other questions, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlop. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 8.01, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all personnel, are up.
Was 8.1, I missed that earlier. Was that added, or did I just somehow overlook it when we...
It wasn't added. It was moved from somewhere else on the agenda because it made more sense there.
Oh, all right. Can we pull that one out?
Sure. All right. So a motion to... It doesn't need to be a motion to remove that?
Sure.
Okay. It doesn't need to be...
No, you can just make a motion to approve 8.02 through 8.05.
All right. So a motion to approve 8.02, 3, 4, and 5. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion on 8, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
So I know there were some new hires here. Those are the section 8.01, or some of those in other sections here?
That's in section 8. For teaching staff, certified staff, that's 8.03. Classified staff is 4.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, so I see we have some of these are not replacements. Some are actually new hires. So I wonder if Mr. Superintendent,
sure,
you could tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, our enrollment's up. We have more kids, and so obviously when more kids come, we need to create sections to accommodate those students in those classrooms.
And I know in during the REA negotiations during the summer, there was a lot of discussion. Madam Treasurer ran a lot of numbers when we were figuring out, are these hires, some of the ones that we were discussing and you were running projections on at that time, or is just no linkages, just, we got more kids, and so we got to have more teachers.
Exactly.
Okay.
We have more kids, and so we need more sections.
Okay. Any other questions for items 8.2, 02, 03, 04, and 05? All right. Call the order.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 8.01, Superintendent Contract Amendment. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion?
The National Superintendents Roundtable is a national program where there are about 50 to 60 superintendents from around the country who get to basically come together and discuss national issues in education, new trends, what have you. And also it acts as an advocacy group for education across the country on the federal level as well. Here within the state, we have an organization called BASA, which acts similarly at the state level. This one is at the national level, and I was invited a few weeks ago to take part in that.
Okay. Where are these conferences and meetings going to be held?
They're typically 2 to 3 regional meetings across throughout the year. Mm-hmm. The first one is in November, which I will not be attending, in San Francisco. I believe the next one is in D.C., if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And there was one this summer in D.C., which I, of course, did not attend.
Right. So it's similar to functions that have been attended in the past.
Correct.
From different, yeah.
But this is more at the national level than...
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
No.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Items 9.01, 02, and 03 are on for discussion. The first one is educational travel from Hannah Ashton, Wagner Road, or Wagner Junior High, and Baldwin Road. Do we have a representative? Of course we do.
All right, it's my turn this year. Good evening, everyone. This is our standard 8th grade trip to Washington, D.C. We've done it for at least the last 20 years, I believe. It's the trip where the 8th graders look forward to going and spending time at the monuments and going through the museums, and really just having a fun time learning about the history of our country. We stop at Gettysburg. On our way out this year, we will be. We go to the Holocaust Museum. They have an evening dinner cruise. Again, this is pretty much our standard agenda that we've been running for the last few years. We're excited this year because we actually get to keep the price the same. Mm-hmm. Last year it was $620. This year it will be $620 as well. Thank goodness the gas prices have stayed low, which has helped immeasurably. We will be leaving May 9th, which is a Wednesday, and students will be out of school Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We come back very, very early in the morning on Sunday. We leave Washington, D.C. usually around 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, and then we get in about 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. It gives the teachers that go just enough time to kind of sort of get some sleep before Monday school starts. We're excited this year. Last year we had about 300 students attend. This year we actually have a little bit of money left over because we had some bus issues last year. We were given a refund from the bus company, so we're actually able to give scholarships to each school. So each school will have a $310 scholarship, a few, that they can give out. So we're in the process of running a competition for that. Any questions?
Just one comment. Outside of the history stuff that my son says that, you know, you already know, Dad, his favorite part was actually the dinner cruise. He said that that was just, it was a unique thing that he hadn't had an opportunity to do, and allegedly he danced, but I'm not sure about that.
It's funny because most of them dance, even though they'll swear they didn't. And we truly go up and down the Potomac. The whole route is about a mile long, and we go between two bridges, and that's all we do for 3 hours. Yep, it's a giant ring, so. All right. I had a question.
So I know that you do also have opportunities for the students to fundraise, right, so they can raise some money. Can you tell us a little bit about what you plan for this year?
This year, I know Baldwin Road's doing two fundraisers, and we all are. The first fundraiser, we have one that's candle and jams, and students get 40%. And the second fundraiser is closer to Christmas, and that one is wrapping paper and like household items. Mm-hmm. So students on average get about between 30 and 40% from the fundraisers. The companies we've worked with before in the past, they've done very well for us. Last year we actually had a student who paid for her entire trip via fundraiser.
So it's possible.
It is possible, yes, most definitely. And we do make payment arrangements if we have parents who, you know, $310 in November gets to be a little bit tight. So, you know, we've worked with families to try to make sure that they can budget it through so that everybody gets the opportunity to go.
Good, good. And my junior just wore her T-shirt yesterday.
Well, you're
I have
just
to
noticing.
Say.
Yeah, Parker's yep, got see, his
yeah,
on.
It's a very memorable trip. It's a right. very memorable trip.
It yeah. is. Any other questions?
No, enjoy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, that'll be back on next month. The next one is athletic travel for the girls' basketball team to Tampa, Florida. Do we have anybody here that can speak on behalf of the girls' basketball team? It's really fun. That's what I've heard. All right. Do you know, have you gotten any confirmation from Mr. Coach Patel or Mr. Perkins?
From what I understand, it's a yearly trip they do each year, and that's about the extent of it that I know. Quite an experience or an opportunity for our kids to go play in a tournament of that nature. So I think that's pretty exciting. I'm a little bit jealous.
And it looks like they're not missing school.
Correct.
At all.
Yeah. Right.
It's always a good thing to get that different level of competition. If you've ever had a chance to watch some of the girls play over the last couple of years, they've been some very, very fierce basketball, and it's fun to watch.
And they're going to be pretty good this year.
now they have to be. next one is educational travel, stepping in the right direction, college tour. Do we have anyone that can speak up? Something tells me we know where this is going.
So the Stepping in the Right Direction College Tour would be for the African American Literature class, the club that we spoke about a little bit earlier. This would take place over spring break, so the students would not be missing any school. We would travel to, I think it's eight different colleges, universities that are historically black colleges or universities in Atlanta, Virginia, I believe.
Tuskegee.
Yes, Tuskegee, Alabama, and I think we make a stop in Virginia. So there would be several different colleges or universities that the students would be exposed to, along with learning the history of the colleges. One thing that Stepping in the Right Direction offers, seniors that actually go on the tour have the opportunity to gain admission. They will have a portfolio reviewed by admission representatives. Any scholarships that they would qualify for, they could get accepted on the spot and have those awarded right there on the spot. So that's something can be very rewarding for our seniors that will go on the trip. I think that's about the summary of it. I welcome any questions that you may have.
Sounds like an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope they take advantage.
I know of at least one senior who's interested in going to Morehouse. I think that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So this will be paid for by the students as well?
Correct. So students do take on the onus of the cost of the trip. I am planning some fundraisers that we spoke about earlier. It's still kind of early, but it's time to begin working. So I am prepared to do some fundraising, working with families. I've already been in contact clearly with stepping in the right direction, and like the DC trip, payment plans will be offered. There's a couple of options that we can tweak to lower the cost. So travel can be done by airplane or by charter bus. Charter bus is a bit cheaper. So there's some things that we can do with the package to lower the cost.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it would depend maybe on how many students, or is it a flat?
Right. It's also based on student number and also chaperones. So there is a free chaperone for every 10 students, I believe. And there's some wiggle room with that as well. Like if you don't take all the chaperones, they provide their own advisors and chaperones. Oh, they encourage teachers or people, employees of the school to come, but it's not necessary. I will be traveling, and I believe some of my colleagues will as well. But if we don't take advantage of the every free person for every 10, then that can bring down the cost for students as well. Mm-hmm. So there's some wiggle room with price per student.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a general idea of what it might be?
So right now, the last time we spoke, it would be anywhere from around $1,300 to $1,500. Mm-hmm. But again, I feel like I can get it down a little bit lower than that.
Okay, that'd be good. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wanted to say, I didn't even know tours like this existed. I've heard of DC tours, you know, for years. So, you know, wherever you found this, or just great initiative. Cool.
Look forward to hearing how you progress between now and next month. So. All right, next items are items 9.04 and 9.05 that are on for action, the addendum to the High School Academy's Program of Study and Naviance. Mr. Superintendent, do you want to tell us a little bit about at least the Naviance? I know you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I'll want to do the Credit Flex component first. Due to the changes in Credit Flex at the state level, that we had to amend our student handbook a bit to account for that, our program of studies to account for that change, and that's merely an addendum to that. As far as Naviance is concerned, I'm going to give you some specifics. The entire program is called Naviance, College and Career Readiness Technology Solution. It's a product used by school counselors and administrators to enhance our academic and career pathways and to align student strengths and interests to whatever post-secondary options exist. As you are aware, there's discussion about student success plans ranging from everyone in high school to even everyone in middle school. This will get us on track to start having that conversation a little more robustly. Fairly familiar with the program as we used it in my previous district as well, and it assisted our counselors tremendously as their jobs have changed in a huge way over the past 3 years just due to legislation.
Is this new software package going to get rid of something else, or is this in addition?
This basically it doesn't replace anything because nothing exists currently. Okay. But it gets us in a position where people aren't writing individual student success plans for every single student themselves by hand.
Okay.
And it gives them some connections to careers and post-secondary options as well. Something we couldn't create ourselves, so to speak.
And that we didn't have before.
So. Correct. And didn't have a requirement to have before either.
Right.
Yeah.
So this streamlines an existing process?
Yes and no. It's an existing process that the state would like to see us do, but it doesn't really exist, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that they've encouraged us as districts to engage with, but have provided no support for those, and have said, here's a great idea, see what you can do with it. And that's kind of where we are. The idea of a student success plan is a fantastic idea, but the practicality of getting it done for every single student is almost impossible for the staff. This enables us to at least create something that gives us that type of tool.
So is that creating a career path for them or steering them in a certain direction?
Somewhat.
Early?
Somewhat. It gives them ideas of what their interests are and matches them to potential post-secondary options and careers that would match those interests.
Okay, because I think the kids before, I know my kids have taken like a test.
Correct.
And they said, oh, well, you'd be a great dentist or whatever, you know. So this is kind of taking it a little bit further and mapping them out and connecting them with classes?
Correct, and it can articulate all the way through high school.
Okay, but their minds change too.
Correct, and this allows that too. This doesn't lock them into anything.
We use this program in my district, and so I'm familiar with it. It is not, I know where what you're thinking. This is not something that is, you know, a fixed in stone type of thing that if you score in a certain percentile and you want to be X, that doesn't mean you have to be that the entire time. But what it does allow for is like something similar my son used is he found out that through a program very similar to this that he liked astronomy. And then he started thinking about it. Now he wants to be an astrophysicist. So it kind of can guide in that respect, but it doesn't necessarily dictate that because you want to be an astronomer, that you have to take these classes at this academy or something like that. It's not like that. It just provides the options.
And
for
if he decides he wants to be an architect in
then it
2 years,
then it just shifts right over. No they do a lot of times, and again, I'm not sure how it will work here, but I know a lot of times English classes will work with it, so they can work on prepping for college essays or investigating other career opportunities, and it becomes part of their process with them. So even when they go from one building to another district or one building to another building, all of that information follows them, so the teachers have the opportunity to know where they're at, kind of like when they come into the building, as opposed to trying to start the whole process over for different students.
Mm-hmm. And what's the price tag?
It's about $56,000 total, but that'll be split among schools.
And it's for a 3-year contract?
Correct.
So that 54 is all
for 3 years. Not each year for three, but 3 years total.
For 3 years for all of our
roughly academies. $20,000 per year.
So how early does it begin in the schools?
They can start using it as early as 6th or 7th grade. I'm not sure we'll start using it quite that early, but I would imagine when all is said and done, we will be.
So when you say split across all the schools, does that mean it's coming out of their school funds?
Correct.
Their building funds?
Correct.
Okay.
Just to keep in mind, building funds are also district funds.
Right, right. But I just look at something like that, and, you know, so we pay for other, they pay for other things out of their building funds, you
Correct.
Know, substitutes or, you know, whatever.
This year we also took back some other things that were paid at the building level at the district level.
Oh, you did?
Correct.
Okay. Are substitutes still paid at the building level?
Currently, <Uh-oh>. Yes.
Just broke my heart, Debbie. Currently, yes.
Okay. But you took back some others.
Yes.
So, for example, if you could give me an example.
I believe some of our testing that we typically would do at the school level has been brought back to central level because it's expected across the district.
IREADY
has been brought back to district level, that sort of thing.
So I'm just concerned this is not going to tap the schools.
No, it shouldn't. No. I mean, if you split that up, you're talking roughly $7,000 to $8,000 per school, something like that.
Mm-hmm, because it's $20,000 a year, and then you're going to split it from there. Okay.
And that's right, and that's over 3 years.
Okay, right.
I just find myself worrying not so much about where it stands now, but maybe the slippery slope of a student at an early age getting stuck in a path.
I understand that. That's something I wouldn't want to see happen either. That's certainly not the intention of this, nor... I can't speak for the state, but for us, that's certainly not what we're trying to do is trap kids in anything. If anything, we're trying to open them up to more options. The key term to keep in mind is options. I think it's easy when we hear about pathways, we always think we're tracking kids in certain areas, but the idea is to open up to multiple pathways that they can actually look into, which is another conversation I just had recently.
Mm-hmm. Have any of the counselors had any input to say about this?
They'll be involved in the process, yes. Are they aware of it yet? I believe so. Yeah, I believe they're already accustomed to what Naviance can offer, and it's going to make their jobs a little bit easier. They have a very taxing job right now with the expectations put on counselors at the middle level. They're kind of relearning their jobs. They've almost become almost high school counselors, so their jobs are much different than they used to be, and I think this will allow them to be a little bit easier.
Okay, thanks.
Great.
So it wasn't something they brought to you. Could we do this and makes this more efficient?
No.
It didn't go that direction.
Are there any other questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
No.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Policies. Two policies are on for action today. It's our student absence policy and a FERPA, because I like saying FERPA, consent form. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Tenero. Mr. Superintendent, do you want to tell us a little bit about, I know they're kind of, we've talked about it last month, so these are just on for action.
Correct. The student absence and excuses policy is due to, again, legislative changes, moving from days to hours, and a bunch of other pieces of expectations that schools have to adjust to. This accounts for that. The FERPA consent form is, again, just a change in legislation, verbiage, and that sort of thing. Not anything necessarily new, but it's an update to our current form that we already have.
So pretty much just the state of Ohio said do this, and we kind of have to do this.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. any other questions, comments? Did I already make a motion on this? Do we already get the motions?
Yes.
All right, that's what I thought. Yeah, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 11.01 and 11.04 are on for action. Mr. Reed, did you want to share anything about this particular issue, these particular items?
Sure. Briefly, 11.01. We currently use a CANTAC system. It's a obsolete proprietary system for our building entry, or also known as a burglary system, that is owned by Tyco. Tyco's fees would be well in excess of the $91,382 over 2 years. This is a upfront cost, and then a $900 a month after that for monitoring. And state security will be putting in a non-proprietary system that any company that outside of state security could also work on as well. So it's taking care of a lot of issues that we have. As far as 11.02,
just go to only item 04 for right now. We're going to talk about
11.04 surplus items. Nothing that outstanding here. Some books, some bookshelves. The only technology we have is actually some point of sale systems from the food service side.
Okay. So
11.01
is a cost savings. Results in a cost savings.
Correct.
And also it allows anyone to be able to work on this system once installed.
Correct. Right.
Any vendor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Moved by Mrs. Tenero, second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll on items 11.01 and 11.04.
Mrs. Tenero?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 11.02 and 03 are also up for action. Back to you, Mr. Reed.
11.02, Brookwood Academy. and I believe Tammy might be able to elaborate a little bit more on this with her knowledge of this, but essentially, Brookwood Academy is in contract with us to pay off some debt to the tune of $19,000 over a 12-month period, 12 payments of $15.83.33. 11.03 is Ohio Department of Education, the supplemental agreement where Reynoldsburg City Schools is will no longer be the sponsor for certain academies, A-plus Arts Academy, Brookwood Academy, Everest High School, Patriot Preparatory Academy, and Virtual Community School of Ohio. Those will be shifting to two other organizations. This is a standard shift contract.
And this is mostly due to changes in state law that remove sponsorships from districts, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. All right.
And on the Brookwood contract, we're going to also be providing some services to them. We're going to provide some instructional and financial guidance to them.
Okay.
But we're going to be receiving $19,000 over a 12-month period?
12
correct, in exchange for providing those services.
Okay, okay.
How does the paying off debt enter the picture?
I might have misspoke on that.
Oh, okay.
That's a separate issue. They do still owe us some sponsorship fees and some accounting fees that they've been making payments on. And then they currently are in the process of reorganizing it through the bankruptcy court to be able to pay off all their debt. But this is for some services that we're going to provide to them.
Okay.
Wasn't our sponsorship taken away, though, a while ago? I mean, I say a while, a few months. And so what happened in kind of the interim of this settlement agreement? Who was sponsoring them?
We were technically the sponsor until ODE took over, so I believe that ended in July.
Okay, so ODE took over temporarily, and now these are the two other organizations.
Actually, ODE is going to take over Brookwood permanently.
Okay. Oh, and I knew that. That's
Brookwood,
right.
Brookwood and I believe A+, and then the VCS, and well, VCS is not opening, and then Patriot and Everest are going to another sponsor, but I don't remember.
St. Aloysius.
St. Aloysius.
Yeah. I'll pull that up on the screen.
Okay. St. Aloysius actually is a... If you, by charter sponsors, they do a very good job. So those two are going to be in great hands. ODE, it will remain to be seen.
And we have our space back at, I understand, at Wagner Road Middle School.
Correct.
Now.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how it's being repurposed yet, but we do have that space.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? All right. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Or do
we have
a motion?
I just keep getting those things because we split them up. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, now we can call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Abstain.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 12.01, executive session for items A2 and A7. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Truex. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We're off to executive session. All right. We are returning from executive session at 8.04 p.m. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Tornero?
Here.
Mr. Truex?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. There will be no action at this time. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Truex. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Tenero. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Meeting adjourned. We'll see you soon.